You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
On episode 39 of the Green Street Hammers podcast, we play West Ham overrated, underrated with starting 11 and bench players, and move on to some Hammers polls questions before looking at the upcoming Everton match away. Keep it locked on the Green Street Hammers podcast. All right, Green Street Hammers podcast is back with episode 39. We have a bit of a packed house for this week's episode. Myself, Adam hosting, and Jeremiah, as usual, is here. Jeremiah, how are the Rocky Mountains treating you?
Dude, they're beautiful. I cannot complain.
Awesome. Lou, how is Northern England treating you?
Same answer as usual, really rainy, wet. Obviously, it's wet if it's raining, but yeah. Pretty much.
Love it. It's the same in Toronto right now, so I feel that pain. And Jeff, you are on for the first time in a little while here. How is the Lone Star State?
Oh, we're having our 3 days of fall this week. It's awesome.
Love it. The Scorpions go away for a little while. Is that what fall is for you guys?
Yeah, we have summer, then we have Indian summer, and then we have 3 days of fall, and then we have late summer, and then winter.
I love that summer wraps fall. That's something only Texas could do, I'm pretty sure.
As
depressing as the seasonal changes for some, I embrace it. I enjoy the brief, what seems to be shortening period of fall or autumn in Canada here. And I'm sure, Jeremiah, you can probably echo that in Colorado.
For sure.
We have a little bit to talk about in the West Ham world in the sense that we are coming back from an international break. The team is reinvigorated, excited, ready to go for sure. Not going to fall on their face or start slow when it comes to this week's match against Everton at Merseyside. Again, I think, Lou, you're heading out to this match, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I am, yeah. First match of the season. I'm looking forward to it.
Away fans or home fans?
Yes, away, of course, away.
Awesome, I love it, although it would have been nice to see someone in Claire just standing in the middle. That would be great.
But I've done that before, don't worry. I've done it before.
perfect.
I was in the away stand, remember when, home stand right behind the goal, when Payet hitting that free kick in the cup against Man United.
Oh, yeah.
I was the only one who just stood up and celebrated.
That match too?
Were you?
Yeah, it was in that match in the away stands with the West Ham fans, yep.
Oh, you were in the away? Oh, okay.
So Jeff, no, I couldn't get tickets for the away, so.
No, I got lucky, really, because, not to digress here, but I thought that game actually was going to be a league game I was going to, and I got moved for the cup, and I was lucky enough to get cup tickets. I thought I was going to be holding the bag.
There you go. Okay, so guys, there's been a little bit of talk as far as West Ham's international players have been getting on. We're not going to really delve too much into that. We're going to sort of look at the squad as a whole, and we're going to judge them from the start of the season, that Manchester City match where West Ham kind of got thumped to start the season 5-0. We're going to start there, and we're going to include cup games, international break, training ground. I mean, hell, we can incorporate however exciting they are on social media if that really matters into what you're trying to get your point across to. And we're going to talk about being overrated, underrated at West Ham and going through this squad here. So I would like to start, and as mentioned pre-show, I am going to abstain from my votes. Lewis seemed to rejoice in that piece of news. But anyways, I'll let the three of you, the more interesting people on this show, have your say as brief as you want it to be. And we'll start from the back and we'll go with Roberto. Jeff, why don't you give us your thoughts on Roberto? Overrated, underrated, or perfectly rated?
Well, he's rated only because it hasn't been an absolute disaster yet, but I think I'm waiting for the other boot to drop.
Jeremiah, what do you think?
I'm going to go with underrated. You certainly can't go overrated in his situation yet, but you know, you look back at his history, you look at who he's been, just give him some time, I think. I'm going to stay positive.
And Lou, where do you land?
Yeah, I'd say the words I would use is probably unfairly rated.
Oh, question one, Lou's going off the chart. All right, justify
we're
that.
We're throwing a wrench into it, yeah.
Why do you say unfairly rated?
Oh, sorry. I just don't think people have given him much of a chance yet. And like you say, once the first blunder comes in, then I'll happily call him for what he is. But until then, I'll be nice to him.
That's fair, I think. Thankfully for him, we didn't have a televised or streamed match for the Oxford game, which I think may have changed our opinions. However, there's more games to be played without Fabianski. Who is our next person? So we'll go snake draft here. Lou, Fabianski, underrated, overrated, or appropriately rated?
Well, I'd say appropriately rated by West Ham fans, but I'd still say he's underrated by fans of the rest of the clubs in the league.
Jeremiah?
Based on the fact he was called Flappy Hansky not long ago.
Oh, Arsenal fans.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with Lou. I think he's, you know, if you look at us, he is perfectly rated, but the rest of the world, he's definitely underrated, and even kind of internationally in some sorts of ways. I think maybe just because of who he played with more so when he was at Swansea. But yeah, definitely delightfully surprised.
Jeff?
I'm right along with these guys. Underrated.
Underrated. I like that. Despite him being still an awesome keeper, underrated. He got a bump in FIFA, so if you want to base your football knowledge, as many people do on Twitter, off of FIFA, he had a pretty solid upgrade. Okay, we're going to go right back here, and I'm going to remove Ben Johnson from the list. He hasn't featured for the first team, I don't believe, this year yet. If I'm wrong, correct me. And he's been injured for a lot of this season so far. So we'll go with Zabaleta, the Swiss Army knife. And Jeff, what are your thoughts? Underrated, overrated, where do you see him?
I'm going to say underrated only because I think people see that he's getting along in age and think that he may not have much left to offer. And I think he does. It may not be on the pitch, but I think he has a lot to offer to the other players. I think he has a lot to offer in the locker room as leadership support for Mark Noble. And I think he has a future maybe even at this club when his playing days are over.
All right, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I don't disagree. You definitely can't go overrated. I mean, it's not like everyone's like, oh, here comes Zabaleta. I mean, look out. But I think that, yeah, he's solidly underrated, and I'll take that.
Lou?
Yeah, I think they've nailed it pretty much. I've not got a lot to add.
All right.
I think like they've nailed it, yeah.
I'll be concurring here. I'll say he's overrated. Everyone likes to give him the old, what he has done rating. And there's a reason that Ryan Fredericks hasn't even been challenged for a starting spot, and I think it's because Zabaleta may have the wheels come off a little bit here. That doesn't mean that he's not a good player. I just think the legendary status he holds in a lot of people's minds isn't maybe as justified as possible here. And there I go. I broke my own rules three players into this. Ryan Fredericks. Lou, start us off. Overrated, underrated? What do you got?
I'd say rated probably about fairly among West Ham fans at the minute. I think people know he still has more to give and things to improve on, probably defensively. But I think people are starting to appreciate the player he is and what he brings to the team.
Jeremiah?
I'm going to go underrated. I think if you put him on any other club, if you put him on a Liverpool, an Arsenal, you know, a traditional top six club, people are going to be ranting and raving about how his speed, his pace, and everything in between. So, yeah, I'll go underrated.
And Jeff?
And I'll say rated, but I agree with the opinions that those two guys gave. I've loved him since he joined the club.
Awesome. That's a very positive outlook there. I love it. Guys, Fabian Balbuena, Jeff, I'll let you start us there. We haven't seen much of him, but has there been anything to be excited about?
Gosh, then I think that you have to say that he's been overrated. And obviously the manager may have seen something and has seen something with his performance in the training ground that we don't get to see. And then we get into the whole, well, we need to have a left-footed, right-footed pairing at center back. And he's lost his spot and hasn't been able to do anything to get back in there.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, it's tough. I think you want to say overrated because he came in and had a fantastic year last year. But realistically, I'm going to go rated. I think he's right where he is. I mean, for the price that he came in at, second year, getting, you know, like you said, he kind of got taken over in that spot. And he's just kind of been what he's been for me.
And Lou, what do you got?
I'll go for underrated because I think, like you've said, he did a very dependable job last year and we actually missed him when he was out. And he had a couple of shaky performances to start the season, but I don't think he'll have changed that much in just a matter of a few months that he's gone to a bad player. I still think once he gets his chance again, he'll probably take it.
Yeah, I'm torn on this one too. I'll stay true. I'm abstaining. Okay, next up is Goncalo Cardoso, nope. Winston Reed, nope. Angelo Ogbonna. Lou, what do you think? Has this guy been underrated, overrated, or appropriately rated?
Probably underrated over the past few seasons. I think people looked on him as this calamitous defender, but I think he's had as many very good games for us as he has you know, poor ones, and I think this season he's certainly proven his worth.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the underrated theme on that. I think it, same thing like you said, people have given him a lot of slack. I've been giving him a lot of slack, and he's delightfully surprised us, and he's playing well once again. He's back to the old form.
And Jeff?
I'm just going to say he's properly rated because of the inconsistency. So he's been overrated at times. He's been underrated at times. And he's been in the middle. So that to me is just he's found his level. That's about what he is.
Perfect. Perfect. Nice little bookend there. And we'll go right next to Issa Diop, the next superstar that West Ham has developed. What do you got, Jeff?
My inclination is to say underrated, but let's not let anybody know that. So let's just say he's properly rated so the bigger clubs don't keep sniffing around with these outrageous offers in the papers.
I heard Ed Woodward listens to this podcast, so that's probably a smart move. Jeremiah, what do you think?
I'm going to throw a wrench into this. I'm actually going to say overrated right now. Ooh. And I think, yeah, I know. Put the boo button on. But I think last year was fantastic to see. And coming in, he's still young. But I think just how he played last year, it hasn't maybe as equated as much this season. I think a lot of times Ogbonna has been the better center back. And he's got a ways to go. So I will screw things up a bit and say overrated.
Lou?
Jeremiah stole my bold and controversial claim.
Yes! Now you're the poser.
No, just because I think he's still got a few weaknesses to his game. Like he sometimes a rush of blood comes to his head and positioning and things like that. But the price banded about by Manchester United in the summer, or the rumoured bid anyway, was I don't think he's worth that much yet anyway.
Potential's through the roof on him.
He has got, a potential. He has the potential to be world class.
But if we're rating him right now, I think there's justification for both sides there for sure. As far as it goes for impact on the team, I think Jeff may have justification there. Left back. Two left backs, two starting quality left backs. And Lou, what do you think about Aaron Cresswell? Is he living off of two good performances?
Yeah, I think we discussed in the podcast last week that he earned his contract off the last two performances. And you like to think they wouldn't give someone a contract based on a few good games, but I wouldn't be surprised with the owners we have. So I'd say, I don't know what to say with regards to underrated or overrated, but I'd have Masuaku and Seam over him.
Oh, that's telling in and of itself. Jeremiah, what do you say?
That's a bold statement on this podcast, yeah. But I'm going to go with just perfectly rated for now. I think coming back from injury, playing how he's played, and it's only been two matches, but I think he's just kind of right in the middle where he needs to be. I'm going to steal what Jeff said. He's been overrated at times, underrated at times, so we'll put him in the middle.
Jeff, would you like to steal your own point back?
Yeah, I think he's been underrated. I really do. I think he gets a lot of stick for no reason. I think he's been pretty solid when he's gotten the opportunity. I think looking back on it now, he took a long time to recover from that injury he had. I think that was two summers ago. It's just now rounding back in the corner.
I would like to say that this podcast is better without my opinions, as you guys literally picked three different options there. And we have differentiating views, which is great. Holding midfield, Declan Rice, Jeff, kick us off. Underrated, overrated, or not quite, rated in the middle?
He's underrated. Everybody knows he's underrated. The only people who say that he's not are the people that are jealous that he plays for West Ham and are trying to, pick him away from us.
Yeah, it's but Harry Winks is really good too, man. Come on.
Sure. Fine. Great. The thing about a player like Declan Rice and the position he plays is if you don't watch him week in and week out, you don't understand. And when you do watch him week in and week out, he's the type of player in a position that when they're doing their job well, that's not flashy. And so you have to understand that when you're watching a player of his caliber, but he is underrated. And outside of Fabianski, losing him, knock on wood, would make me more nervous than losing anybody on the squad right now.
I'll just silently knock over here for the rest of the episode. He's the English Sergio Busquets. Jeremiah, what do you think?
Yeah, he's clearly underrated. I mean, like I've said on this podcast and a bunch of other places, the center defensive mid role is to me is a dying art. It's a lost art, and he is the first name on a team sheet every match. And like you said, the only reason he's not playing for a top six team right now, and I say right now because I think West Ham's going to get there eventually. But Ooh. The reason he's just getting that slack. He is totally getting that slack that he's not on a good team. And, when England loses, they blame it on him. And it's a whole thing.
Yes, England cannot score against Czech Republic. It must be the defensive midfielder's fault. Lou, what do you think?
Yeah, underrated again. I think he's been getting a lot of slack recently, like you say, due to a couple of England performances where absolutely everyone played bad. And I think England fans are taking out on him, which must obviously mean he's overrated, even though pretty much every game for us is at least a 7 out of 10. Mm. And you know what? As long as we rate him, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Exactly. And a 7 out of 10 for West Ham in the past would be a good player in a loss, but now that is a great player in a team that's contending for European positions. So it holds a lot more water as far as the season's concerned. Keep the microphone close, Lou, because we'll jump back in with everyone's favorite West Ham player, Carlos Sanchez. What do you think?
I mean, he's just rated fairly because no one rates him, really.
I don't know if they can even terminate his contract right now fast enough.
I mean, yeah, if there was one player I could get rid of from the squad, right now, it would certainly be him. And I'd be very scared if he ever had to come in for Declan Rice in a Premier League game.
He didn't make the bench against Crystal Palace, so that should tell you just about everything you need to know. Jeremiah, what do you think?
I think this is worthy of a skip, but...
do it then. Hit the skip button.
Skip it. I'm hitting the skip button because, there's just nothing good to say.
Jeff, what do you think?
We can't top that line.
Perfect. Okay, Jeff, then you can tee us off on Mark Noble.
Oh, come on. He's underrated. Everybody knows the guy's never made an appearance for England in his entire career. He's been playing for West Ham since he was 17 years old. When he's not in the side, we crumble. When he's in the side, we play our best team football. He's completely underrated.
Jeremiah?
Well, the passion that Jeff threw in there, I cannot top. But I will say, I feel like Mark Noble's even going to be 84 playing like shuffleboard or bingo and still be underrated. So, yeah, the dude is just completely underrated, and he's always going to be that way, but that's how we like him.
In every aspect of life. Lou, what do you got?
Yeah, it's a clean sweep. I can't really add much to what they say. They've said it very eloquently.
This podcast sucks again. He's getting a lot more love this year from pundits. Maybe it's because West Ham are playing better, but I don't know. I like to see that. It's also, we're not going to lose them to like a top six club. Okay, we're going to move to more central midfielders positions here, and we're going to go with Jack Wilshere. Lou, do you think he's done enough to even get a rating?
Are we basing it on this season?
Yes, this season.
I don't know why I'm asking that. I don't know why I'm asking this like halfway in.
We have to start over. Throw out the recording. Yes, this season, starting from Manchester City and on.
Probably overrated, probably, because I think in pre-season he earned a lot of plaudits and new fans, including me. And I think I even tweeted that he was our best midfielder, but that certainly doesn't look to be the case at the minute. So I'd say overrated, just based on me, really.
Hot take. All right, what do you think there, Jeremiah?
I'm going to agree with the overrated. I think that coming in, the big thing that everybody was saying, even us, was, you know, if he could stay healthy, you know, look out, we can get the Jack Wilshere back from days gone. But yeah, after a great preseason, he's kind of been non-existent, really.
Jeff?
He is overrated. My cousin is an Arsenal supporter, and when we signed Jack Wilshere, he was like, "Hey, you got Jack Wilshere. Get ready to go absolutely crazy." And he was 100% correct.
I want to chime in here again. I'll break the rules. They're my rules. I can break them. When we did a pre-match piece with the Watford boys over at Hornet's Nest, I believe, the player they picked out that they would want to join their team was Jack Wilshere. And I think his name holds a lot more water than we've ever seen. I know that, and I know we've seen him play. When he played for Bournemouth, he was fine. Like, he was a good player. He stayed healthy. He impacted the game. He hasn't been given an opportunity here, but when you look at the cup games he's played in, he's literally scored a goal because his pass was so bad that it surprised the defender that it hit, and he just walked in with the ball after that and put it in the net. So he needs a string of games. I'm fully backing him to step up in this Everton match, but I would say overrated as well. All right, Jeff. I think it's Jeff's turn. Manuel Lanzini, what do you got?
Overrated. And that's going to be an unpopular for our little for my own teammates right here. But guys, when he shows up and plays, he's great. But he's wildly inconsistent, and there are stretches during the course of a season and even a game where he completely disappears and can't get it done. Injuries aside, he's overrated.
Jeremiah?
You know, I was just giving you a lot of slack right there, but I completely agree. I get so frustrated at Lanzini because I love Lanzini. I feel like everybody does. We have a great song after him, and when he's on, he's on. But moreover than not, he's not on. And when he's not on, he just doesn't have it. I think you saw it coming in. I'm going longer than we're supposed to, but when he came on and replaced Fornals, he looked like he was playing better in that match. But still, I was still underly impressed.
And Lou,
yeah, I don't want to agree, but I think they've probably made fair points to convince me otherwise. Yeah, he's just not consistent enough. Obviously, like you say, when he's on, it is. Like, looks like probably our best player when he's in the mood. But recently, he's just been a passenger in games, and he needed to do more in that Crystal Palace match. Mm. And if he did, we probably would have, you know, got something out of it.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there, any of you guys. All right, another great, exciting attacking midfield player. Pablo Fornals, Lou, what do you think?
I'll go underrated based on, I think people are writing him off so quickly and they're not giving him any time to settle in. He's been in out of the team and he's not really had any consistency game time wise. I think he has a lot more to give, so I think people just need to give him a chance.
And Jeremiah?
Yeah, I think perfectly rated, I think the reason with that is like he's kind of come in and he's been up and he's been down and he's kind of been all around. But I think realistically, he's kind of perfectly for me right where he's supposed to be at, coming into Premier League for the first time, and he's like you said, he's not getting a lot of runs out, and for me, he's just kind of right where he's supposed to be.
Jeff, do you have anything that's a little bit different, or are you with these guys that he's underrated?
I'm with these guys. Let's just say he's rated to underrated. Yeah, I agree.
Guys, I was going to go overrated. This guy came in with a 26 million pound price tag, ripping up the under 21 World Cup, and he can't do anything against like Palace or, you know, Norwich or whoever he's getting in against. He's not even taking over games that he's playing lower league oppositions. I don't know. We haven't seen it yet from him, so I don't know. We can't base anything that we've seen him as a West Ham player do be, you know, worthy of us basing judgment off of to make him underrated. So I say over. Okay. Left-sided attacker, the only player that we have that plays the left side. Felipe Anderson. Jeff, what do you got on our Brazilian bad boy?
I think he's properly rated. I think despite the fact that he's gone in a long stretch here without actually scoring a goal, I think the eyeball test week in and week out proves that he's probably our most talented player, and he has the ability to make things happen offensively for this club.
Love it. Jeremiah?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I think that you're absolutely right on there, Jeff, and he's got what it takes. I think, you know, some people try to write him off too fast, and he's just perfectly where he's supposed to be, and I haven't written him off, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Lou?
I don't think it would be fair to rank or rate Lanzini as overrated and then do the opposite with Anderson when they're similar talent levels and similar consistency, which, well, is inconsistent. They're both consistently inconsistent. So I think I'll go overrated just based on the fact we know we can do more, but he just doesn't on a consistent basis.
Anytime anyone wants to pull up a hot heat reference, like consistently inconsistent, I'm all in for that. All right, we'll go across the pitch to the right side. We'll skip Antonio and we'll jump in on Robert Snodgrass. Lou, do you think that we've seen enough to even rate him?
No, I think he's probably fairly rated at the minute based on what we've seen so far this season, and that's rated not very highly, by the way. I mean, he's just retired from Scotland, hasn't he? So I think that says it all. I don't know whether he knows he's on the slide, but yeah, I'll fairly rated, but not very well rated.
And Jeremiah.
Yeah, I think if we were looking at a career overall, you would say underrated. But since we're looking at just this season, you got to think fairly rated. Excited to see if he gets more opportunities to come out and what he can do. Always excited to see what McMessi can do. But yeah, I would just say perfectly kind of rated where he's supposed to be.
And Jeff.
Yeah, I agree. He's perfectly rated for where he's been and the limited opportunities he's had this season so far.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you guys on that one. He just wanted to look it up there. He's under contract until the end of end of next season, June 30th, 2021, with an option for a further year. I'd be interested to see, because he's one of those guys who's like a locker room guy that sort of, you know, is more there to make sure everyone's working hard in training and there's a good morale around the club. I can see him being an enforcer behind Noble as far as, you know, the level of standard of play. So I'd like to see him still around the club. I think he can also do a job, but again, we haven't seen him enough, so you guys are totally right there. We'll go with Yarmolenko, and Jeff, kick us off here.
Well, since you're asking me today, I think I'm going to say he's properly rated. If you would ask me a few weeks ago, I would have said he was overrated, and I've struggled understanding. Are we watching a player who now is coming back fully fit at the top of his game, or are we just watching a player who's okay, who's in a bit of a hot streak right now and is going to disappear in another couple weeks when his form starts to fade?
Interesting question there. Jeremiah, what do you think?
I am going to disagree with that. I'm going to say, underrated. I think with the looking at how he's played this year so far for us, coming back from a tough injury, he's played well. I mean, yeah, a lot of times he was crap until he scored in a lot of different matches. But you got to give him time to come back. Even internationally, he's played really well. I mean, Ukraine looked good the other day. I don't know if you guys caught that or saw anything about that. And I think that there's more to come.
Lou?
I think he's probably appropriately rated at this moment in time. I think most West Ham fans can see that is our, you know, one of our main goal threats at the minute. And, you know, he's improving on his all-round play as well, and he's setting up chances over the last few games. So I think most West Ham fans appreciate what he's doing at the minute.
Yeah, when everyone talks about West Ham's new attack, Felipe Anderson, Manuel Lanzini, Sebastian Allaire, Andre Yarmolenko, that was the narrative before the season started, and we didn't see anything from Yarmolenko outside of one good game last season. So I think appropriately rated is exactly it, because nobody counted him out. They just counted him as injured and unfit. So I think that's a good take there. Albion Ayeti, or Ajeti, I don't know what the pronunciation is in Switzerland. Lou, what do you think?
I don't think we've seen enough to really forge an opinion either way. He's played two cup games, that's it. And he's not done much in either of them, but I don't think it's enough to judge him.
And Jeremiah, what do you think?
I think oddly, I'm going to go oddly he's overrated, and it's not his fault. I think whenever we brought him in, when they signed him, you know, everybody sees, oh, we're signing West Ham, signing a striker. We're bringing somebody in. He's going to be, you know, the next best thing. Look how he's doing in Switzerland and all that. And to none of it, his credit, obviously, what he did on the pitch, but coming in a new league, a new team, a new style of play. So I think, like I said, overrated, but really it's not his fault. It's kind of what we built him up to be.
Jeff?
I just think we haven't seen enough. Haven't seen enough to be rated at all. How about that?
I think that's appropriate and succinct. And we're going to end with Sebastian Allaire. Jeff, do you have a take on our enigmatic striker?
I lost what order we were going in, but I'm so glad you came to me first on this, because this guy is horribly, criminally underrated. It's not just the goal scoring. It's the way that he breaks up play when he needs to. He comes back. He holds up the ball. He sets up his teammates. He's involved. I mean, this guy is unlike a striker that I've seen play for West Ham, and he has been a revelation to me beyond the goal scoring.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, I completely agree. He's everything that I wanted, and I think a lot of other people wanted as a West Ham striker, not just scoring goals, but all around. Really has played better than a lot of people we've seen in that position for years and years, just with his hold-up play and his team play. I mean, you hear him talked about everywhere, but still, I think he's definitely underrated for the amount of different skills that he has.
And Lou?
To be fair, I don't think it's hard to look better than Simone, Zaza, and Andy Carroll, but but yeah, he's a breath of fresh air in terms of what he does for the team and what he contributes, and I think he's only going to get better, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you guys there. The only thing keeping him out of that France international team is the fact that I always go, oh, Olivier Giroud, like, what's he going to do? And then he scores every single match, and it makes me so mad. But he would look great up top of that team. Although, you could argue it's probably a positive that he's not on that team, because him succeeding with the likes of Antoine Griezmann or Ousmane Dembele gets a little bit more attention on him, a la Payet. So, guys, thank you for taking part in what turned out to be a longer but insightful segment of this podcast. Hell, we'll call it a half of this podcast. And I think we touched on a lot of things, and I wouldn't say that we were necessarily polarizing from each other, but we were. I think we covered all of our bases here, and probably everyone who's going to listen to this is going to feel, okay, I feel represented here. So for that, we did a great job. Hats off to us. Again, I'm still knocking on wood. We're going to take a quick little break here, and when we come back, we are going to jump into the Everton match ahead. All right, welcome back. We are again here to talk about the upcoming match against Everton for West Ham. It's match day 9. I don't like saying match week because, you know, at a certain point in time, the weeks blend, there's international breaks, so we're going with match day. It's a 7:30 a.m. kickoff for me here in Toronto, Ontario, in beautiful Canada. That would be a 6:30 a.m. kickoff for Jeff, an 8:30 a.m. kickoff for my friend Jeremiah, and that is a...
You're going the wrong way.
Come on, am I doing it again?
Yeah, you just got to keep going backwards, man. It's 5:30 a.m.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we jumped ahead. Well. Okay. You know what? Math isn't my strong suit, but Lou, it isn't yours either. I think that's a 12:30 kickoff for you, right?
Yep, it's 12:30 over here.
Nailed it. Okay, well, 2 out of 4 ain't bad. Wait, no, I got 3 out of 4. Okay, anyways, Colorado, it proves difficult. Guys, if we looked at the table right now, let's say I had it right in front of me here. Everton are sitting in 18th place. They have 2 wins, 1 draw, 5 losses on the season, and they have lost 4 of their last 5 matches. Now, this sounds like a beautiful situation when it comes to playing a team. However, when it comes to West Ham, usually there's a meme on Twitter that goes around that says, oh, a team's not playing well, enter West Ham. And I have that deep down feeling inside my gut, but it's not as strong as it was when we played Crystal Palace. Jeff, does this look like a potential banana skin game coming out of the international break, or are you confident in the Hammers here?
100% this is a banana skin game. This is West Ham, for gosh sakes. And I am watching this game with a very, very curious eye. Coming out of the international break with the team coming back together, that's number one. You know, we have Roberto in goal again. That's always a curious thing. But when you have a team and you're going on the road and you're playing a team that's going to be desperate, can we match their intensity level? And I'm sure all of us can go through our mental checklist of West Ham matches over the last couple of years. The one that always comes to mind for me is away at Brighton a couple of years ago when we threw everything but the kitchen sink at them after sleepwalking through the first half and lost 1-0. There's just all these matches that West Ham can't seem to get a handle on, and I think this is one of those.
Yeah, I want to say that that's not going to be the case, but I feel like it probably is going to be. To sort of project what's going to happen in this game, their attack's really a solid attack. Dominic Calvert-Lewin up top, Sigurdsson behind him on the right side, Richarlison on the left side, Iwobi, and then you have Bernard on the bench who can obviously come off. Same with Moise Keane, their new addition from Juventus. He's gone 8 games without a goal, so he's probably ready to actually do something there as far as impact the offense. But their captain, Seamus Coleman, will be out on a red card suspension for this match. He picked up 2 yellow cards in their loss to Burnley, and that will be Jibril Sidibe coming in to start in place for him. Lou, do you look at this team and think they're underperforming, or do you look at this team and think, you know, this makes sense? They're where they're at right now.
I think on paper, you'd definitely say they're underperforming. I mean, people were predicting this team to compete for top 6-7 with the likes of Leicester and us this season, but obviously they're in the relegation zone 8 games in.
Yeah,
but I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think on the like I say, on paper, they should be doing better. But I think a lot of the players get overrated. I think Sigurdsson, his stats are very good, but when you watch a full game of him, you can understand why Everton fans get very frustrated with him, and I think most want him out of the team at the minute. All my family's Everton fans, and they all. They like moan to me about Sigurdsson and how, and he's like, I guess he's like, I wouldn't say Lanzini because we still want Lanzini to play, but in terms of effectiveness and consistency wise, I don't think he has as much impact as outsiders from other clubs would just presume. And in terms of midfield, who's the manager? Silva. He keeps playing Schneiderlin. And the fans certainly aren't happy with that because I think ever since he's been at the club bar a couple of good months, he has been an absolute disaster for them. But he keeps persisting with Schneiderlin in the middle of the park. And I only hope to God he does the same for Saturday, because I think we can certainly exploit him with the attacking options we have.
Yeah, it's hard to pick out this team and what they would look like if they didn't have Sigurdsson on the pitch. I'm sure, you know, your family members who are Everton fans would probably all agree that if there's a dead ball around the penalty area or just outside the box, there's no one on the team they'd rather have behind the ball. But as far as
impact, maybe Dina, to be fair, is a good set piece taker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a fair pick there. You know, West Ham fans can appreciate a good set piece taker from left back, I'm sure, these days. But there's no one on the bench to replace him. Maybe if you play Bernard in the middle, but he is more of a left sided attacker. Outside of that, it's Andre Gomes is their midfielder who's, you know, attacking. Tom Davies more of a central midfielder. So if he's not playing well for them, you can understand how that's toppling their team, because he's the joint between two defensive midfielders and an attacking front three. So it makes sense. Jeremiah, I'll give you your personal question here, and anyone else, you guys can chime in afterwards. If you were to handpick somebody from this team to directly replace someone from West Ham, who's coming in and who's coming out?
Oof, boy, that's tough. And you name a lot of players on Everton that West Ham have been linked with before, so that's easy to kind of look at them. You look at Gomez, obviously, or Gomes. Sigurdsson, I know we were linked with before. There's even links to Keane at one point. And then, you know, you have the comparisons between Felipe Anderson and Richarlison. A lot of people have been talking about the comparisons between that. It's tough, man. I think this is going completely against everything that you just mentioned, Lou, but with Sigurdsson, I think that bringing him in, and just what you mentioned, a dead ball, whenever we were linked with him a couple years ago, really, I was really, really, really hoping that he was going to come over, and kind of devastated when he didn't. And I think, God, it's tough, though, to say who you'd replace him with. Definitely not replacing him with Noble. So I guess for the time being, and this is going to probably change my opinion next week, I'm going to get a lot of haters for this, but I think bringing him in, and if you switch him out, maybe with Lanzini, it could look solid. I think just his ability to hold the ball a little bit, maybe more comfortably in the middle, and it could play more well off of that, I think. So definitely probably butchered that up, but yeah, that's what we're going with.
Hey, Sigurdsson made a career for Fernando Llorente by just picking him out with over-the-top long balls, mm-hmm. So maybe that would work with Sebastian Allaire as well. Jeff, do you have someone you want to take out of this team?
Yeah. Sure, I'm going to totally cop out and say, why not Jordan Pickford?
That was my pick!
Right? Come on, this is obvious, guys.
Ooh.
Let's start from the back out.
Hey, he's
got little
arms,
though.
Don't
they want him
gone, too? He's got little arms, man. That's the T-Rex. Although, when we played them last season, maybe the season prior, Arnautovic just kind of embarrassed him by just walloping a shot directly at him, and he couldn't really handle the tight swerve on it. That was kind of funny to watch. I think maybe 2 seasons ago. Lou, do you have someone on this team that you want to yoink out of it?
Yeah, the guy had just mentioned a little earlier, Dina. Obviously, we have lots of problems at left back, and Everton have problems all over the pitch, but one position where they're sorted, I think, is definitely left back with Dina. He's pretty solid defensively, and he offers a lot going forward, and like I say, he's very good at set pieces as well.
Is Chelsea's transfer ban 2 years or 1 year?
One, I think.
It's just one.
Okay, if let's say Everton struggle and don't get European football, I can see Dina being, you know, just perfect for them to pluck out and place in their team. I think they've got Alonso and Emerson right now, who both of them aren't world beaters as it stands. I think you could see someone like him jump up to impact a team. And Chelsea's a young, exciting, attacking team. I think that'd be a no-brainer there, although I wouldn't hit him on our team either. We have an official score prediction piece coming out here, so we won't go into specifics here, but let's go around the table. Excuse me, I'm getting all emotional thinking about football being back. Let's go around the table and just give our confidence meter, and if we're predicting a win, a draw, or a loss, and we'll go reverse again here. Lou, what do you got?
I'll plump for I don't think we get there's many draws between us and Everton at Goodison, but I think it's likely going to be a draw, maybe 1-1, possibly 2-2. I think we'll cancel each other out. I think we've both got good teams, and they've got to be up for it. If they're not up for it, then Silva's got to go.
Yeah,
fair point. Yeah, 2-2.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a official prediction score yet, but I'm going to go with a win. I think that, like you said, like both of you just said, you know, they have to be up for it or Silva's gone. It's been written in the papers. It's all over the place that he's got like this match and maybe a couple more and he's out. And I think the team's going to be up for that, but I think that they might be playing a little bit over the top and maybe too aggressive for that matter. So I do think hope that West Ham can take advantage of that with maybe some counterattacking, some good team play pass up through the middle, and take advantage of their over-aggressiveness.
I feel like an idiot every time I say this, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of goals in this match. West Ham have the positive of a backup right back, and Michael Keane and Yerry Mina both being massively overrated. Keane got exposed when they played the Czech Republic quite often, and was a factor in them losing England losing that match. Pickford, good keeper, but I think, you know, we have players that can put the ball where he can't get to, the likes of Anderson and Yarmolenko. So I feel like there's goals there to be had, but then again, if Sigurdsson wants to curl one and you know, put it on net, we've seen that Roberto doesn't like to get his kit dirty. So there's a chance that you know, just the idea of putting balls on net, a very hockey term, pucks on net, getting balls on net could be the plan for Everton here. And, you know, we could see a goal fest. I'd like to think West Ham win. I'll give them a 4-2 win in what will be match of the week. Jeff, why don't you give us the close out here?
I hope that they score 4 goals. That would be fantastic. And I'm going to chalk my opinion up to being sad over the 2 weeks of international break and have totally forgotten about the West Ham performances in the last 2 matches that have showed us have a dip in form. So I'm going to say my confidence is a little bit high going into this one, but I'm not sure that we can eke out a win. I would love to see that, but I'm going to agree that maybe a draw would be a good result here, and then we regroup from this one.
Wow, a lot of skepticism. Can't say
some negativity going on.
Guys, as always, we're going to finish the episode by going through and hammering out some Hammers, Pulls, questions. We've been doing everything reverse snake draft here, so Jeff, get ready, get your thinking cap on. The first one comes in 6 hours ago, 243 votes sitting on it here. Reports ahead of Everton are suggesting that Mazuaku will likely miss the game with the Toffees. He's coming off international duty with Congo, I believe. And I think he played really well in those games from what I'm hearing. Cresswell hobbled off against Palace, although that's 2 weeks ago, which means the Hammers could be down to bare bones at left back. Should Cresswell not make it back in time, who replaces him? Do you have Johnson coming off of some injury delay or Zabaleta starting at left back, Jeff?
I have Ben Johnson, but I think Manuel Pellegrini would have Pablo Zabaleta.
All right, Jeremiah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Zaba. I think all the things that we said before, his leadership ability, he's lost a step, obviously, but I think that he's going to be a good fit in there. Ben Johnson, he's growing. He's played well, but just not ready up for this type of game.
Lou?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with Zabaleta. He came on in the Aston Villa match when we were down to 10 men and did a very dependable job. So if he, you know, was forced to come on in this match, I wouldn't have too many qualms.
I've clicked ahead here and I have the answers, which are quite shocking, but I will agree with, I'm going to agree with all four of you. I think, Jeff, you're saying that your heart is saying Johnson, but your head is saying Zabaleta.
Yeah.
I would too. I also think something people aren't taking into consideration is that he would be lining up against Richarlison, who is a notable hothead who gets frustrated when people play him physical. Zabaleta likes to take a card and, you know, likes to get in on a dirty tackle here and there. And as well, he's South American. I think he could push a lot of buttons on Richarlison to either coax out some, you know, red card behavior or just get under his skin and get him off his game. I would love to see that in action there. 81% of people said Ben Johnson, though. So, what the hell do we know? Okay. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Okay, question from Hammers fan 02380, reiterated from Hammers Polls. With more, quote, plastic fans in the modern grounds and higher demand for away tickets, should away allocations be higher? I don't fully understand this. Do any of you guys understand the away ticket allocation system?
I think
not really.
In the league, I think home teams are entitled to give whatever they want, but I think in the cup, I think it's 15% of the whole allocation of the stadium. But I think it completely depends on the club, and I think they should you know, decide what to give out, because, you know, we obviously sell a lot of tickets away, but it's not going to be the same for every team. So I don't really see how that would work.
I think this is kind of an ignorant question, to be honest, because it's being framed as plastic fans wrecking the experience for away fans. But it says, with more plastic home fans at modern grounds and higher demand for away tickets, should allocations be higher? If anything, plastic home fans would be affecting the home allocation. And you're also talking about then, quote, plastic fans traveling to away games for these teams they're supporting. So to me, it's a completely jumbled question. I think a lot of people don't understand. You can't differentiate between plastic fans and the game growing to an international level with, you know, TV money and external revenue being pumped into it from overseas. For instance, Jeff, Jeremiah, and I have all... Jeremiah, you've been over to see a match, correct?
I have. I've never been to the London Stadium, but yeah, I've been to Bolin.
So all three of us have traveled from North America to come over and see a game. Are we plastic fans because we didn't grow up, you know, a neighborhood away? I'd like to think no. I'd like to think that my thousands of dollars journey over there makes me something a little bit more than a quote-unquote plastic fan.
Yep.
But also at the same, and also sitting like Lou, look at you. Like you chose West Ham over Everton, which is where you're from, or the area, and you are sitting amongst in hostile territory amongst a bunch of Everton supporters, and like you did against Manchester United, if some ball goes in that net, you're going to be jumping up and cheering. So does that make you any different? I think this is someone trying to vent frustration with the fact that they didn't get an away ticket and they'd like to find someone to blame. So why not coax out some plastic fans? I don't know. My face is red right now. What do you guys think?
I didn't think West Ham was capable of having plastic fans, if I'm being honest, but I guess maybe you yeah. could. But definitely not going. You're not a plastic fan if you're going to away matches to watch, not in that environment. And additionally, on top of that, I do think, I'm kind of like everyone else, I don't have a lot of understanding of how it works. I think that having season tickets might have a play into how the away tickets are handed out as well. But yeah, I think it's a jumbled question.
What do you say, Jeff? Anything you want to add in there?
No, I agree with everybody, and I think the plastic fan things is, okay, so what? So say a couple day trippers want to go to a game at London Stadium, but then they turn into West Ham fans because of the experience they had that day. So what? That's how it works, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lou. Hey, pipe down. It's getting better, all right?
If I didn't know anything to do with West Ham and I just happened to come across a game one day, I don't think I'd be going back in anytime soon.
Hey, what about that Norwich match? Come on, that would have been fun to go to.
Yeah, maybe
I do have a quick funny story off of that. I know a lot of you guys might know who Nick Stampar is, or you might follow him on Twitter, yes. Or seen him. He and his brother just did a huge kind of Euro trip all over, really all over, a lot of Eastern Europe, but they were able to go to two West Ham matches, and his brother, who didn't really have a liking at all for football, went to those two matches, went to a West Ham away event, and now is in love with Claret and Blue.
See?
There you go.
I rest my case.
There you go. That proves me wrong.
Maybe that's just an indictment on North American sporting communities, because you see an event like that, or you know, the culture around it in England. It's a whole different thing from my experience. All right, Lou, we'll give you the first go at this one. How many points will West Ham pick up over? Oh, by the way, the ticket allocation answer here. We'll say no. 60% said yes. I assume this question could have been framed, should away allocations be higher, and people would vote the exact same. So there you go. Okay, Lou, what do you think? How many points will West Ham pick up over the next two games, which are Everton away and Sheffield United at home? 0-2, 3, 4, or 6?
Well, I was about to say 6, and I just realized I predicted 2-2 for the Everton match, so that wouldn't really add up. I think 4 points would be a good return. I'm actually going to the Sheffield match, actually.
Oh, there you go.
I've not been to one for ages, and then I'm going to two in a row. So, but yeah, I think I'd take 6 points from the next two matches.
Yeah, I'm in for 6 as well. Jeremiah, what do you got?
I'm going to go 4. I think that I think we're going to win this weekend. I think the Sheffield match, as much as we're going to want to come out and take advantage of that opportunity and kind of, you know, rub the Tevez masks in their face and all that other fun jazz is going on. I think that that's going to be a tougher game than we might let on. So, yeah, 4.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'll just put it this way. I think anything less than 4 is going to be a problem. So I'll say 4.
All right. Voting was in. It's rather sporadic. 0 to 2 had 9%. 3 had, which would be one win and loss, was 21%. 4 points, a win and a draw, 37%. And 6 points was 33%. I'd like to think Mark Noble will get the boys fired up and sort of explain that Sheffield history to them. I'd love a film session on that behind closed doors with them. And guys, we will close it out with this question here. It's actually a really good question. I like it a lot. Voting's already in. We voted. I voted on behalf of all of us, so we know the results. Who has been the best West Ham graduate from the youth team in the last 10 years? Declan Rice, Mark Noble, James Tompkins, or Jack Collison? And Jeff, you're starting.
Wow, as much as I raved about Mark Noble in the first segment, I think I need to go with Mark Noble, and that's only because we have longevity behind it at this point, right? I mean, Declan Rice could be everything Mr. West Ham, just like Mark Noble was, but we got about 15 more years to wait for that to happen. So I'm going to say Mark Noble and really not give much consideration to the other two guys.
Hey, Declan Rice has already eclipsed him in international appearances. So.
Well, that is true.
Jeremiah, what do you think?
For two teams, for two international teams.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Think of that feat. Can't do that every day. I'm going to go with Noble as well. My heart says Collison. I loved watching him play, and I should get to see him play in person. Love watching it, and, you know, injury took a bite out of what amazing career I think he could have had. But, yeah, I think if you're looking long-term, Mark Noble's been the guy for sure.
And, Lou, what do you think?
Yeah, I was a bit confused about the wording of the question at first because Mark Noble graduated about 15 years ago now. So, but I thought he meant like actually graduated within the last 10 years. But I guess it means just who have graduated.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so you can't really argue against Noble with his longevity. And, you know, I'd love Declan Rice to replicate or even eclipse him, but I think it's going to be harder in this era.
Yeah, and he's got so much pull on him from external sources. He's not dealing with
the
West Ham going down to the championship, winning promotion, coming back up, and that taking years out of his prime like Noble had. But, I mean, I want to say Rice because he's already accomplished so much and he's changed positions. Like you said, Lou, he's played for two senior international teams. And he will go on to do more than Noble, obviously. You know, knock on wood that nothing happens to him in his career. But Mark Noble is just the epitome of loyalty. West Ham, I don't know if you can really argue that at all. Also, great's ambiguous. You know, does that mean that? Sorry, who's been the best player? Best ambiguous. Is it best for West Ham? Best in general? Best on paper? Most expensive, all that. But guys, that'll do it for us. The winner of that was Mark Noble, 55%, Declan Rice, 42%. Tompkins, 1%, Collison, 2%. But yeah, that'll do it for us. Episode 39, as mentioned, the Midlife Crisis episode is up next. I never thought we'd make it past one episode, but here we are, approaching 40. We hope that the team performs well this weekend, of course. You'll get our prediction pieces come Friday or Saturday morning. And gentlemen, until next time, come on, you Irons.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from.
Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.